What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
Hey, this is Chi.
And I've got an upset tummy. I'm not sure what's going on with it.
Too much Halloween candy laying around the house because...
God, it's tough. It is fucking tough, man.
I took a handful as soon as I came in.
Yeah, we got so much. And then we got booed. Have you guys heard this? This is like a new tradition.
Booed?
Yeah.
Off stage?
No, no. It's a Halloween thing. I was thinking about like where this stuff started. I gotta imagine that it had to be like consumerism and like, or maybe it was just somebody nice. But anyway, what ends up happening is somebody doorbell ding ditches you, you know, like ding ding and runs away. Mm-hmm. But they leave you a basket full of candy and like Halloween goodies, stuff like that. And then you're supposed to pay it forward to one or two people. So then you keep that basket and all the candy and all the goodies, and then you make a new basket, and then you give it to another neighbor. But then you put something on your door that says, I've been booed already, so which means, like, don't do it to me anymore. And so it just keeps growing and growing, supposedly. It was fun, though.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like Mayflowers. I forgot what it's called, but girls, I think, I don't know if it's called Mayday, that obviously probably isn't it, but girls would make gift baskets of flowers and leave them on the door handles of boys that they liked, I believe. Mm. And I forgot.
How does that work for you?
Holiday, I don't know. I think it's meant to be like a secret admirer thing.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, for me? I don't know.
Mm. Anyway, I thought it was nice. It got us out of the house. We went to Michael's, and this person that, like, the basket that we got was really nice. It was, like, probably $40 worth of stuff in there.
Wow.
And we went to fucking 99-cent store and, like, got two baskets for $22.
I wouldn't even have known what that was.
Well, there's a disclaimer inside of it.
Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just like...
Did you pass on the disclaimer?
Yeah, and we had to look it up still, like it wasn't enough.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do you guys get a lot of trick-or-treaters around here? This seems like the type of neighborhood.
A good amount. A good amount. Not like crazy, but yeah, a good amount.
Yeah. Hmm. Nice. Yeah, Halloween. So this is kind of our Halloween episode.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even think about it.
Yeah. Thursday is going to be Halloween. This episode will be out Tuesday. What are you guys doing for Halloween?
I don't have any plans. Probably giving out candy.
For Halloween, I have a couple different plans. Technically, this last Saturday, I dressed up for Halloween for work. Mm-hmm. I went as... not this year, but I didn't realize, is it this Saturday that everyone's dressing up and going out, or is it next Saturday after Halloween? Mm. I always presume...
Both?
I think a lot of people are doing 50-50 this year.
I kind of feel like...
It's closer to the next weekend, but it kind of feels weird doing that in November.
Mm-hmm. So I'm celebrating Halloween three different times over. So yesterday, Halloween, I did like an impromptu Dragonling outfit. So I looked like a cute Spyro. Mm. And then on Halloween, there's a house party. And then November 2nd, after BlizzCon, there will be another house party that I'll be going to. So three different just causes for celebrating.
Are you
going to
cosplay at BlizzCon?
No, but I am thinking of getting a couple Blizzard-related t-shirts to wear there, maybe, to fit the theme a little bit. But cosplaying, even dressing up as a dragonling, like putting on a headband, putting
it's
on wings, it just didn't feel... Right. Mm-hmm. I am not the type that ever cosplays. Mm-hmm. And even just dressing up in costume makes me kind of feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So I don't do it that often. I'm happy to do it for the holiday, but it doesn't, what's it called?
Tickle your fancy?
Knock my rocks. What's it called?
Tickle your pickle?
Yeah, exactly.
I was just going to say, I think like American culture as a whole is getting a lot more comfortable with wearing costumes. As a whole, I don't know. Or maybe I'm just getting old and I don't give a fuck. But, like, cosplay for sure, that wasn't even a thing, and now it's a thing. Mm. And she's cosplaying as a rock muncher right now.
You can't hear it, can you?
Oh, not when you look away.
Yeah, I'm eating Halloween candy as we're recording this, because I'm just, it's too hard to resist. Bobby, what are you doing for Halloween?
Nothing really. I'm going to probably watch some scary movies. I watch scary movies like leading up to Halloween, but usually on Halloween night, I watch reruns of old TV shows, the Halloween episodes, with commercials if I can get it. You know, I'm part of a site that kind of has a lot of this stuff. So today I actually watched like an ABC Halloween special from 1989, And it was weird because, you know, they did like the classics, like the Ichabod Crane one, something from this show called Free Spirit, which is this terrible, like Full House knockoff, basically. But then after like all this stuff happened, you know, 1 year I did like Elvira, Mistress of the Dark was hosting a bunch of movies. 1 year Vincent Price was hosting like music videos. And, you know, that one was from like 82. So that was a good one. But when I was watching this one the other day, it was in 89. And so in between like all these Halloween specials of like these really crappy 80s TV shows, they were having live coverage of the like the rebuilding process from that giant earthquake in San Francisco. Mm. Hmm. So it was really cool to see.
In between that. Scary movies. What a weird place to shoehorn that in.
TV shows. So this is TV like somebody, shows. This is basically like somebody like put in their a blank VHS tape and recorded two mm-hmm. hours of like ABC or CNN mm-hmm. or something or whatever, you know, network television. But yeah, I like to do that. I got some good ones lined up. I got the Flintstones meet, Count Rockula,
a classic.
Yep, can't top that one. I got the Garfield Halloween special. Yeah,
guys, when you hear Bobby complain about not having time for stuff, just remember this is what he's doing with his time.
Yeah, he's just watching movies and TV shows. No, but
including the commercials. He's seeking out commercials.
This is the best part.
He'll just watch commercials that are decades old. Yeah. He'll watch news that's decades old.
Like, I'll see one on YouTube.
And on Lifetime.
Like, you'll be like, oh, yeah, that was funny. But a whole series of them? Oof.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of puts you back in that time.
Yeah, I was going through my comic books the other day, and the ads in there really take you back, too.
There was a commercial for the TurboGrafx-16.
I had that.
Yeah, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. I forgot all about that.
Well, it sounds like for Halloween, I'll be celebrating it for everyone.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. We're old.
You can always come out and party with me.
That's true.
On a Thursday night? Whew,
ooh, jeez.
No, on a Thursday and or Saturday night.
Let's see. Oh, we got a new Patreon. Aaron.
Aaron. Thanks, buddy.
Nice.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right. And one more thing that I want to announce before we get into it. We're going to be doing this Battle Stations contest where you, the listeners, can show off your computers, your rigs. We want to see all your amazing builds out there. So there's going to be a video video going up on YouTube pretty soon explaining that. Look for that. We'll announce it all over Discord. You know, go to dlgaming.net. You can get to everything there.
But. Yeah, we're going to be giving away two Fractal Design CPU coolers, the 36 millimeter one.
And so then who's judging the Battle Station contest?
We are.
Oh, we are.
So, yeah. But I wanted to stay away from, like, it might still happen. So if you have a killer rig and it's awesome, here you go. This is what it looks like. If you have a killer, of course, submit. But if, on the other end of that, I don't want to give the guy with the most money the prize. As you know,
yeah,
well, outright.
Not all about...
Right.
It's
so we're going to be... There's a lot of factors, like mm-hmm. bang for your buck. Who needs it the most? Or maybe just the most awesome. You know, you could still win if it's like jaw-dropping or whatever.
Obviously, you've got to understand your panel. For instance, I would probably go with the funniest looking battle station or the
humor.
Most ghetto looking station because I know you guys have some ghetto setups and
like mine right
if
now,
anything like sympathy winner right there.
Yep.
So if you got cockroaches, you know, scattering about your motherboard, by golly, you deserve to win something.
And then on top of that, so one of them is going to give away just, you know, we're going to talk it out and give it away. And the other one is going to be at random. And, more on that next week. Mm-hmm. There'll be a little video explaining everything.
Yeah. And we'll also be doing another little video after that, just detailing our, you know, I don't want to just say our computers because it's so much more than that. It's kind of like our desktop, our workspace area.
Mm-hmm.
For me, when I think about my computer setup, it is my central part of my home, and mm-hmm. it's where I feel the most at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going into my studio, it's the first thing you see, and it's the area that I spend the most time when I'm at home.
Well, to be fair, that area is your entire house, pretty much. There's the kitchen and then the computer area.
But it's always been like that, because anytime you put my computer set up in a corner where I don't feel comfortable where it is, I've never really felt comfortable in that house.
Not feng shui.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. That's a good question. Can they submit multiple entries for comedic effect? I mean, for comedic effect, yeah.
Sure. But, yeah, because one of them might win.
All right. So let's get into it. On the radar, games that have come to our attention recently. Got quite a few here. The first one is called Dream Engine's Nomad Cities. This game is not released yet. This is a city builder game. Well, a simulation strategy game. Looks like an RTS type game. I don't know. Maybe it's 4X. It's hard to tell just from the video and the screenshots.
I think it's pretty much just a city builder.
You go out and collect resources and you have to hold off enemies that are attacking your base. But the whole catch with this thing, like their whole new angle, is that this city is a floating city. You land on an area, you go out and collect, you do the 4X thing, you gather minerals, you fight off enemies, you expand, you explore. And then eventually the incoming wave of monsters or whoever's attacking you becomes too much, and then you've got to just take off. So I really like that idea because it's like, how long can you hold out? And the longer you hold out, the more resources you get, but the higher risk you run. Mm-hmm. It's a great concept.
Yeah. Oh, I like that too. And it just kind of reminds me of being Terran in StarCraft because most of the buildings
they can take off, right?
Can take off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even when you think you've won against a certain Terran player, sometimes they have a secondary base that they just come back from and they can win the whole game. So that's pretty cool. There's a lot of strategy involved with the extra mobility in 4X games like this.
What else was I going to say? By the music and the looks of the creatures and the architecture, I really got a Tim Burton feel for the out of this. I don't know. Maybe if you played the music or something.
It does seem a little Halloween-y.
What's strange is that the resources you're gathering, they're not even units. They're literal wheelbarrows resources. Just moving a boot.
You know
about. I'm sorry. Someone said I look very Canadian, and I just said a boot. So apparently I'm dressed as a Canadian for Halloween for this podcast, too.
You know why you use wheelbarrows? Because there's no animations you have to play. Like, you have to... It's just, they're just moving around. There's no legs you have to animate or anything. It's a lot easier that way. Hmm. Shortcuts.
Yeah,
folks.
But wheelbarrows don't have, witty quips.
That's true.
Like, half of the fun
is... Okay, boss.
Yeah, exactly.
So no price on this game, no release date. And yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Developer is Sun Crash. Never heard of them.
Yeah, I clicked on them. They had like one other, I don't know. DLC for a game or something. There wasn't a lot there.
Yeah, survival city building game is what they're calling it. Yeah, and that's something to keep an eye on. I'd check that out. All right, next up is... This was recommended by Very Bumpy in our Discord, and I just minimized that. There we go.
I think we talked about this. Either that or it's just been on Steam forever. I've looked at this game...
I don't think we've ever talked about
it. A million times.
Yeah. So this game is called I, Divine Cybermancy. Now, this game I'm familiar with because it made its rounds and all like the bundles back in the day. You can get it very cheap, if not free, from a lot of places. It's on Steam for $10 right now, but historical lowest price was 99 cents. It's on... Yeah, 99 cents. It's kind of a low budget game, but yeah, I mean, it looks good. So in a dark cyberpunk world, you and up to three friends wage war against the all-powerful Federation, this source-powered FPS RPG. I don't know. And it's got kind of a gothic look to it.
Yeah.
I would check this out. I mean, it's 2011. It's kind of an older game, but it's just one of those games I've always seen around, never really thought to play it.
I didn't know it was multiplayer until right now. That might add a little more to it.
I think it's co-op. Let's see.
Yeah, it's said
multiplayer, co-op. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like a Doom clone.
Well, right? I never heard about this game, and it's source powered, so at least the mobility is going to be a lot of fun. We know they do multiplayer pretty well. I think there's different modes other than just getting through the RPG. The multiplayer part of it. I think they said something about Battle Royale in there. So maybe it's a game that's, even though it's because it's older, it's been developed upon.
It's got a bunch of stuff.
And they've got a whole bunch of things going on with it.
Mm. Yep. I don't know. Got to talk to somebody who's played it. But it's very positive on Steam.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like fun with friends.
18 people bought it recently.
If you have friends.
I think that's the last 6 months. So things have died down a little bit for the old eye.
All right, next up, The Drifter. So this game is made by the developers who made Crawl. Crawl was yeah, you remember that game?
Yep.
That was a multiplayer game, like a 3v1. One person's trying to make it through the dungeon.
Very original. So yeah,
great idea.
It's 3v1, but as soon as one of the three kills the one, he becomes the hero. So you're trying to make it through the dungeon, but yet stopping the other people from getting through the dungeon at the same time. It was really original. We really liked it. But the graphics were rough, and the same thing's going on here. They like these really chunky 8-bit graphics, you know, and it makes it hard to see what's going on. This is a little bit better because of the coloring. But yeah, they're not big on art.
Well, this is a point-and-click adventure, too. A pulp adventure thriller, a drifter murdered, finds himself again seconds before his death. Struggling to maintain his sanity, he can unravel the conspiracy. Can he unravel the conspiracy surrounding his condition and those hurting him?
My question is, of course, this being a Steam game, and is it possible to play games like this on mobile? Because I feel like point-and-click adventures would translate
really well,
at least on the smaller scale, like the games that Bobby enjoys playing and this game included.
I'm usually shocked at like what isn't put on. Like, how much work would it be to put a game like this onto mobile?
Probably
a
shit ton.
In general, with the point-and-click adventure games, putting it on mobile is kind of an issue just because of the display size. Playing a game like this on like a 6-inch screen.
Yeah, you won't be able to see the details, you think?
Yeah, you'd miss a lot visually. Like, it would just be difficult.
And then if you highlighted the things that you were supposed to miss, then that would defeat the purpose, right?
Yeah.
Probably. I don't agree with that, because playing games like Phoenix Wright, where you had that touch screen and the stylus, and you had to touch certain clues on the map, I don't see how this wouldn't translate well if you're just tapping.
They could make it work.
I can't play. Well, there's a lot of games that I played on PC, and then I see them on the console. I'm like, oh, cool, I'll check it out. And there's no way I can play it on there, though.
You mean mobile?
Yeah, mobile. Just because of the screen size. And the reason I bring it up with point-and-click adventures is just because it's like, where's Waldo, kind of? You're trying to find something. You're trying to see objects there.
Yeah.
And the objects aren't, like, pointed. Nobody points them out to you. You have to kind of hunt and find them. And the clarity can be a little difficult if the screen's so small. You know, how are you going to see a little tiny wrench on a shelf on a 6-inch screen?
I want to retract. I mean that they're not big on art. Like, they're trying. They enjoy an aesthetic that I'm just not about.
I mean, it's pixelated graphics, but it's that really rough kind of pixelated graphics, like as rough as you can get there.
Yep.
I don't know. It's no price, no, let's see, release date, when it's done. So, yeah, I guess we're waiting on that one, too.
Yep.
A lot of that going on these days. All right, next up, Panzer Dragoon Remake.
That's a Sega game, right? Like an old Sega game?
It was on Sega. It was 95, so I believe it was Sega Saturn in 95.
So they did, HD remake, right? I think you fly around dragons on Dragon.
Oh, it looks like Spyro.
Yeah. It's like a rail shooter. You know, you sit on a dragon, cute. You move around and shoot things. It was a really popular game. I remember really liking it, but I have no idea if it holds up. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I played this on the Sega Saturn.
I mean, the graphics look pretty cool compared to like original.
That's what I was on yesterday night. I was I was the Panzer Dragoon. Yes.
This game's going to sell just because of the nostalgia factor.
Yeah, probably.
People remember this one. People played it. People loved it. No price on it yet. Release date is this winter.
Hard pass.
I think if you like Spyro and it's a rail shooter, or if slow play Sonic, maybe, why not? It's pretty, in my opinion, especially for a game.
It looks good for something so old.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's just one of those games from another generation, though. You know, there's no unlocks, or probably, I don't know if there were any talent trees or anything like that. You know, so it might just be one of those things where you play for a little bit and you're like, okay.
Sometimes you play things just
for fun. So it's not a walking simulator. It's a rail flying simulator where there's, you know,
it's like you're just getting through the game.
And you know what?
I think it's Star Fox.
I would imagine playing
Dragon Barrel rail. That'd be awesome.
I imagine playing this with a mouse. It would be so super easy. Because, you know, it's intended to originally be played on a D-pad. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Maybe they slow down your mouse or whatever.
They should have controller support. Do they list that here? No. Maybe not yet. All right. Next up, Monster Hunter World Iceborne.
Yeah, so I guess this is their first expansion. Sam walked in when I was watching this. She's like, "This looks fucking awesome." Well, when the fighting scenes, and you can't take that away from Monster Hunter. Like, that's what they do really, really well. And I told her my problem was with it and why I didn't play it through. It was just a little too Japanese for me. There was cats cooking my dinner so that I could take out. And, like, I love the concept. I love, like, being an island, trying to take it back from the monsters and all this. But I don't know. This whole style of, semi-anime, I don't know. It's a turnoff for me. And it sucks, too, because I love going on raids and killing bosses.
I think that's really, really, really disappointing to hear because of all the amazing things that Japan has produced for us and so many different levels, and especially in the video game industry. And I don't think I've announced this on the podcast yet, but I am officially going to Japan.
Oh, nice.
Over Thanksgiving week. So I'll be gone for 9 days.
Nice.
It'll be my first visit to Japan, visiting my sister out there. She lives out there. And it'd be really nice to be able to spend Thanksgiving with her.
Sweet.
So I will bring you back all the best Japanese games that you will love.
Japanese girls. That's a part I do enjoy.
So I'm really excited to go. I've always been such a Japanophile, and not in the sense where I like to an extreme.
Otaku, right? Is that the word?
Otaku is someone who just really likes like the comic, the manga culture, and anime, I believe, or weebs. But no, I am definitely really, really, really stoked to have an opportunity to go there to Japan, and I'm officially making
Tokyo?
It happen. I'm flying into Tokyo. I'm spending time in Tokyo, probably the weekend in Tokyo, and then some of the weekdays in the smaller surrounding areas. So
can't wait to talk to you when you get back.
Oh, I know. And I'll bring back gifts for everyone. And then we'll talk about like the different stuff that I get you guys.
Fish snacks. I enjoy fish snacks.
Fish snacks?
Yeah, like all the stuff in the vending machine are all like fish based. I like them.
Fish necks?
Snacks.
Oh, fish snacks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fish don't even have necks.
I'm like, what the heck is fish?
Maybe in your world, Bobby.
I mean, Japan is pretty weird.
Who do you presume?
Japan is pretty weird, so yeah. I might find you a fish neck. Well, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Make sure you order that next time you go to Japanese restaurants. Yeah.
If they don't understand me, I'll be like, the piece between the head and the body. Really, they're all neck, if you think about it. So you want the whole fish? I'm excited about this next one. It's called Carrion. Carrion, like like meat left on the ground. Is that what that is?
Like the worm?
No,
carrion the worm.
No, carrion like
a dead animal.
Like a dead animal. There you go.
Yeah.
Or meat on the ground, as Emilio says. Mm-hmm. So I played the demo of this, and it has a few awesome things going for it. Scroll down a little bit, Bobby. You play as that thing. That red thing. It's all tentacles, and it makes all the noises from all the horror movies you've ever seen. Like, as you're moving around, it's like slurp, 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 and like it screeches like a xenomorph from Alien. And it's got and then when it gets shot, it sounds like, like any of these monsters when it gets shot. Mm-hmm. And it is gruesome, man. Like, your health bar is all determined on eating people, and you gotta sneak. You don't even gotta listen. If they don't have a gun, you just fucking eat them. It doesn't matter. And they're all freaked out, and they're so scared. They're doing dumb things. And it's just fun hunting them down and eating them up, and then it fills your life bar. But if they have a gun, or if they have a shield, or stuff like that, you have to kind of think of how you're gonna approach it. Flamethrowers really fuck you up. And so it's called the reverse horror game, where you're the, you're the monster or whatever. And that's been done a few times, but I don't know if I've ever been anything this gruesome before. This is like, you know, something out of The Thing or something, like really fucking nuts.
Well, you're kind of this amorphous blob of red flesh or something. Mm-hmm. And it looks like you're spreading and taking over these kind of sci-fi bases or caves. And it,
yeah, you're kind of trying to take it over, kind of like the xenomorphs do. That's from Alien. That's what they're called.
So you're like, you're trying to spread as well.
You're trying to spread your, yeah. So if you find like a good hole, you stuff that hole with your gushiness, and then it kind of becomes your area, and then you can move around. I don't know, I only played the demo, which was, you know, I finished it in 15 or 20 minutes, and I would buy it depending on the price, but yeah,
no price yet, but October 28th this is coming out.
Yeah,
so are you sure carrions aren't worms or a type of worm? Can we Google that at all?
There's not one time we looked it up, you were right.
Okay.
A carrion type worm.
Somebody want to look
and it.
Carrion worm? Anyone? Anyone?
A type of worm? Maybe that was a monster in a video game?
Maybe. You see that word pop up a lot in video
Final
games.
Final Fantasy. Carrion worm. Final Fantasy 9, of
God
course.
Damn it.
All right.
But it's not a real thing. It's something. Oh, it's Japanese. See?
Yeah.
This is my problem with that.
Yes. And you know what? I've learned so many words from Final Fantasy. I had a pop quiz once. A spelling test. Pop quiz spelling test in class. And on there was synthesize. Mm-hmm. And because I played Final Fantasy, I knew how to spell it. Nice. I knew what it meant and I knew how to spell it.
I've played it and I've read that word a million times. I still don't know how to spell it.
Yeah, this looks like a bloody mess.
Yeah, it's a bloody mess. And I really like the sound design.
I feel like I play this every 30
days. Yeah, that's my bad.
If you know what I mean.
It should be in highlights.
Just kidding. That was a lady joke. A really bad, gross lady joke.
That's okay. I'll let it slide since I didn't hear it.
It's like a tampon being flushed down the fucking toilet drain. Oof. That's what this game looks like.
Oof. It had multiple strings, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
We're going there, Bobby.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of those episodes.
All right. So I didn't know... Someone played Outer Worlds?
I did.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's hear about it.
So, let me say Xbox Game Pass first. So, you can click on that. It's in the bottom right, Bobby. So, this is not to be confused with the other Xbox Game Pass that was really confusing and hard to... You know, we all did it for that pirate game, Sea of Thieves.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really confusing and nobody knew how to, like... friend people, and it was just like the AI or the UI was fucking dog shit. Signing up was a pain. Now you go to Microsoft, whatever, Xbox Game Pass. It's a different one. It's, it has the same name, but it's different. You have to sign up separately. You can get the first month for $1. After that, it's $4.99. The UI, everything was a much, much better experience. Just like, it was just all intuitive. I was just like, oh, I do this and this and this and this.
You're talking about the Xbox Game Pass for PC.
Yeah.
Beta.
For PC beta. Yeah. Yeah. Not the one that we did originally with the same name.
I don't think I ever did that one.
Oh, okay. But you played Sea of Thieves.
You say easier, but just the description is more confusing.
Yeah, I know. But if you do it, I promise it's not going to be hard. You pay the dollar. You have this app. It's called Xbox Beta. And you just play games on it. And you can play a lot of Xbox games, too. Can you go down and show some of the games, Bobby? There's World War Z, Outer Worlds, Dishonored 2, Blair Witch, Kingdom Come. This is all for $1. Shadow of War, Forza Horizons. It just goes on and on. Shadow of the Tomb Raider, I haven't played that. I'm definitely going to play on that. Play that. Rocket League, if somehow you don't own it. If you go down, Bobby, there's a couple more I want to mention. Gears 5, that's probably another big one. All for a buck. And if not, if you don't play them all in a month, $4.99 is nothing.
Well, it's $1 for the first month, $5 after that, and then eventually it's going to be raised to $10 at some point.
Yeah, I guess so. But get on it right now. I really delayed for a really long time, and I kind of regret it now because there's all these great games on here. Oh, yeah, that's right. $14.99, $15.
Well, that's for the...
Ultimate, which is what you need to get to play Outer Worlds.
Oh,
and probably Gears 5, I would imagine.
Hmm.
But Yeah. Quick downloads, quick UI, no complaints right now. I know I always say this, but right now.
I know. In my head, I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah.
Right now, it's
I've heard you say this before.
It's the best bang for your buck. It is right now. Probably,
well, out of all the subscription services that are popping up, the Xbox one is probably the best.
Yeah. And especially because, you know, my subscription to something Premiere, what's it called?
Origin.
Origin Premiere is going to run out. So I was like really squeezing the last drops out of it, trying to find something good. The shit, not even the fucking launcher works. Like, not for me. If I'm scrolling through the games looking for a game, it just crashes. I'm having shitty time with Origin. I think it's just falling apart.
Yeah, I went on to Origin to update Apex because if I had some extra time, I really wanted to play Apex Legends. Mm-hmm. My brother's back on it, playing avidly. Mm-hmm. I went on Origin. I canceled my Origin Premiere, and then and I had some time. I was like, okay, I have some time. Let me see what's on Origin, what I can still play since I have this Premiere.
Right.
And then the way that they even segregate and or set up their games to browse is very time consuming.
Yeah.
There's no way to, like, they categorize everything, but they don't show you everything unless you're clicking. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, okay, no, I've had enough.
Yeah, sorting through them is just like,
yeah. And I was like, I'm going back to Steam now.
I wonder why they do it. I think it might have to do with it, them trying to make it look like they have more than they do.
Yeah,
I think that's what it is.
Because I wanted to play a horror game, but I clicked on something that didn't even show the horror game topic anymore. And I was like, why would it only be on that page? But I see every other, I don't know. It was just obviously not good.
And I feel like Origin, it was never fantastic, but it was better than this. It's literally deteriorating. And that goes into a news bit where there's a good chance that EA is going back to Steam. It sounds like they're going to let Origin just die on the vine. They just put a picture of a coffee cup with Steam coming out of it that said EA. So people are presuming that that means that they're going to go back to Steam. Yeah. So I paid the $1 and I installed Outer Worlds, fucking Metro Exodus, and probably Gears 5 I'm going to squeeze in there if I can. But damn, dude, for $1, like, I'd buy that for $1. All right, let's jump over to Outer Worlds. So this is from the original creators of Fallout, right? And Fallout 2, maybe, I think. And if you start playing this and you're a Fallout fan, you will get that right away. I mean,
that's so exciting.
It almost seems like it was a Fallout that was created in an alternate universe where games as a service never became a thing. And it was just another Fallout, you know. When you click on somebody, the way they turn around and start looking at you and start the dialogue, everything. Somebody was saying that everything's the same except for the UI because of the Pip-Boy. Pip-Boy UI was never really good. It was just kind of, I don't know.
It was like the whole.
It was different. It's like, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm playing
GoldenEye
with my knobs
did it.
Here.
Yeah. GoldenEye did it with your start menu. It kind of just put you in a whole new menu. And,
yeah.
And not necessarily that it was better.
It was
kind
of cool,
the
I guess. Yeah. The concept was cool. It was never good. It's not a good UI system.
Mm-hmm.
This has a real UI system where you just click on the things that you want to do and you don't have to tab over to stuff. Mm-hmm. The comedy is, you know, I was laughing throughout. I went min-max. I never go min-max on characters, but I decided to do this time. So I made like a really dumb, strong dude, basically myself, and that just can swing a two-hander, and that's pretty much it. Oh, and intimidate. That's two things that he can do.
Mm.
So
you made a gorilla.
Yeah, basically a gorilla. And as you're selecting your, and I would say this is probably the standout thing that this game does so well, I see the game adapting to the character I built so super well. Like when I'm talking to people, dumb is an option a lot. So I'll just be like,
that's an actual thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like low intelligence.
Uh-huh.
I understand games where you have high intelligence. Right, you get the intelligence.
You never get the dumb one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an, so
that's
it's like
funny.
So they'll be like, I need you to go and do this and this and this. And you're like, smash the lights. And they're like, sure, yes, yeah, smash the lights. That'd be fine, my idiot friend. And the comedy just keeps on going from there. The first thing, it's a tuna factory. That's the first thing that you have to contend with. So there's a bunch of jokes there.
You don't have to be smart to be good at what you're doing, because that reminds me of Dragon Age and the enchantment. The enchantment blacksmith. He can only say one word, and it's enchantment.
Oh, it's like a Hodor.
Yeah.
He like for
the door. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Shh. Gee, what? People don't know it's hold the door. Let's see. Now that all said, technically it plays way better. You know, these games are really known for being buggy and stuff, and waiting for the modders to fix their games. That's how Bethesda works. Everybody knows that, like, Bethesda puts out this giant world and then the modders fix it. This is a game that works on day one. You can just play it and it's not buggy. You can, everything works.
Full release or is it early
full release?
Access?
No, full release. It's just a game that you can buy that doesn't have microtransactions. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's almost like, marketing wise, we went back 15 years. But technology-wise, we're current day. Does that make sense?
I remember us talking about this. I had no idea it was coming out as soon as it has already.
Yeah, it kind of jumped.
This is right in my alley. I wish I had more time for video games. I'm going to try to make as much time as possible. But I feel like I'm going to be getting into a lot of co-op.
That's another thing, yeah. So VATS is gone. VATS was like where you could pause time and turn your game. If you weren't like an action
player. I never liked
that. Yeah, you can choose. But like if you were a hardcore RPG player and you're not good at Twitch mechanics and shooting people, if you didn't have 4,000 hours in CSGO, you know, some people use the VATS.
It's only 1,200.
Like, they'd rather roll the dice, you know, because they like D&D or whatever. And so that was good for them. Now it's like time slowdown dilation or whatever. And it works out. It's different. You're basically Superman for about 8 seconds. And you can, like, spec into that or not spec into it. Mm-hmm. So this game has a ton going on. The voice acting is great. It's not perfect, but what is? I would say, like, it's at probably an 8.5 out of 10 or 8 out of 10. My big complaints would be I put it on hard, and it's still pretty easy. I'm still on... I just left the first planet, but you know, maybe it's because I went min max. Maybe killing things is just really easy because of the way I built my character. But yeah, I'm not having too much difficulty there. And then in the dialogues, I'm not having too much problems because I'm just intimidating everybody into doing what I want or just acting dumb and getting away with it that way. But I would highly recommend this game. It's not in the running for a game of the year or anything like that, but it's cool, man. It's cool to like play a Fallout. This is more Fallout than Fallout 76 was. I'll tell you that.
Well, they were trying something new with Fallout 76.
Yeah. Fucking charging people $100 a year now.
Since this is relative, can I just put this out there? Of course, this is the Halloween episode. Yes, I'm still eating Halloween candy throughout the thing.
What is that thing?
Today I also
can't even identify what's in your
hand.
It's
a pumpkin Kit Kat.
Oh.
And today I actually have pumpkin juice all over my sleeve and my crotch groin area.
Mm.
I actually carved pumpkins today. With Robbie. So I'm officially in the dating pool again. It's official now.
Not in the dating pool. That would mean you're single.
Not dating pool, sorry.
You're in a relationship.
Okay, I'm in a relationship again.
Gee, don't get killed outside because, like, the detectives would be like, clearly she was assaulted by a pumpkin man. You have the juices all over you.
Sasquatch attacked me, sir.
Sasquatch?
Yeah.
That was funny and fast.
On me. No, so carve pumpkins today was my first time using a stencil to carve pumpkins. Mm. I always just like free, like hand carved, very simple, triangle-ized teeth.
They come with the kits now, those stencils.
Yeah, and so I decided to look up some nerdy stencils and then...
you printed out?
I did a couple printouts. And I actually decided on Volt Boy as my pumpkin. And
can you put it on Discord?
I will. I don't have my phone on me, but it was my first time ever doing a stencil carving on a pumpkin, and I think it came out very well. So check out the Discord, and I'll have
did you
Sniper
take a picture?
Put it on Instagram, too.
Did you take a picture of it with a candle in it and all? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Nice.
Damn, I guess that has me thinking because Mila is still super into Rayman. I mean, she wants to play it all the time, and we're still having fun with it and stuff. I wonder if there's a Rayman one out there.
You can create your own stencil.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's got to be one out there. They have stencils for everything now.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's a pumpkin stencil, just any type of general outline stencil you could probably find and or make. Mine wasn't a pumpkin stencil. It was just a Vault Boy stencil, and so I just printed it out and figured out where I needed to cut not cut, and it came out well.
Cool.
All right, so anything to say about Metro Exodus?
Sure, but go ahead with Disco. Please. Sorry. It's because I want to make a drink, but I really want to hear about your...
Or Pip-Boy. I'm sorry. I know. I called it Pip-Boy, but then the little thing said Vault-Boy.
Oh, yeah.
So I know it's
Pip-Boy. Oh, you made a Pip-Boy.
Yeah.
Pumpkin.
A Pip-Boy pumpkin. The dude... It is Pip-Boy. You're right, Lotion. Anyways, but
the
on the
Pip-Boy
thing...
Pip-Boy is the thing on their forearm.
Pip-Boy is the machine, but the Vault-Boy is the boy.
Yeah, which one did you use?
Who's the mascot.
Now I'm super confused.
The mascot.
Oh, yeah.
That's Vault Boy. Yeah, then why is Clown Lotion saying Pip-Boy, goddammit?
Because he's a dick.
Yeah, so it's fucking Vault Boy. I was saying it right all the time. Thanks for making me doubt myself, Lotion.
Fun fact, do you know why he's holding up his thumb?
No.
Anyone?
Mm-mm.
If the mushroom cloud is bigger than your thumb, then you're safe.
No way.
Yeah. Or it might be the opposite.
What?
Oh, if it's smaller than your thumb, you're safe. If it's bigger than your thumb, you're too close to the radiation and you have to go away.
No way. I never knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look, there's one where he's flicking someone off. I wish I had that one. I would have done that one. That's hilarious.
Riddick says, The Outer Worlds is now my my favorite Fallout game. That's funny. Man. Anyway, I said what I was going to say about that game. I have more next week.
All right, Disco Elysium. So I'm a few hours into this game, and it's not really enough to give you a comprehensive review on it, but I am very much enjoying this. This game requires a lot of reading. Just going to tell you that.
The whole thing is reading, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much all reading, and there is quite a bit of it. I really like it, though. It's so hard to do story in video games, and I think I talked about this when I was playing Telling Lies, but... There's a lot of games that put story and gameplay in the same cup, but very few that actually blend them, where the story, like in this game, Disco Elysium, the story is the game and the game is the story. And
something went down, Bobby, our stream. Sorry to cut you off. Twitch issues, something. I only see the loading screen.
Oh, that was happening earlier.
I refreshed. It's broken. It's broked.
Yeah,
I could talk about something else.
I just got to restart the stream.
Gee, how was the grand opening?
Oh, yeah, I missed the last two episodes. I'm so sorry. I've been so crazy busy. I don't remember my last day off. Today was my first and only day off, and I was still late to the podcast.
Mm-hmm. This was your first day off in like 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm. Because even though I was assigned a day off, I was called in to work because that's how manic it was.
Okay.
So I work at a brand new bar, and when I mean brand new, it's like I was there to help set up everything, basically.
Which is one of the craziest
checks
things.
Checks and balances, and it's been a lot to juggle.
It's a hard thing
And
to
I'm
launch.
Only a bartender. I'm not, part of the management team or anything else. I don't want to be. I'm happy being just a, drink peddler.
Well, now, I mean, so you've gone underground some training, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would you say you're like... on your way to being a mixologist or something, like that next level of like...
I can easily transition much quicker because I have that much talent surrounding me.
Oh, okay.
And we, and you know, we batch everything and prepare.
Once again,
everything.
She's getting carried.
but no, actually, I'm a very, like, they love me there. Yeah. They see my work ethic. I was working the service bell industry opening day. So the industry night that we had, where it was probably the busiest day that we've had thus far, I was working the service bell, which means I'm the one slinging. I'm not just taking orders. I'm just making the orders.
Okay.
That the service,
which is what you need, trial by fire, right?
Yeah, and
mixing a bunch of fancy shit.
Yeah, like 5-6 drinks at a time.
Damn.
Yeah. So, a lot of fun, super hard work. I love this place because it's an Asian fusion restaurant, and there's this one drink called the Dark Magician, and we also even have a drink called the Spirit Bomb, and we have little quips underneath, like the Spirit Bomb. I made a joke while we were just setting up the restaurant. I'm like, oh, we have a Spirit Bomb drink. Does it take 2 weeks, you know, to because spirit bombs take forever to...
I don't know what a spirit bomb is.
Dragon Ball Z, Goku, spirit bomb.
He's got to put that together for 2 weeks?
Well, it's like every time he like waits? Loads it up, it's like it the video ends, the episode cuts, and then like...
Gotcha.
And then yeah, and it takes a lot to make a spirit bomb. And then they actually put it on the menu, like my the quip that I made, the joke that I made, they put that on the menu.
Nice.
And then the Dark Magician, like they actually have stats on the drink, and it's this taro-based drink. And it's super cute because it has this like little squishy toy that comes
it's
with it.
It's kind of like a nerdy place.
Yeah, well, it's not nerdy. It's more modern. I don't know. It's like loungy. Yeah. It's very loungy. It's where Obi Noodles meets Polite Provisions and larger scale because we're going to have a rooftop bar as well. But it's just really cool people. Everyone else that works there is more or less on the same level in terms of just, you know, just work ethic and social ability. And it's amazing. It's fun.
Good. How are you looking, Bobby?
I think there's something wrong with your internet.
Nonetheless, nonetheless, it's great.
I've got full bars over here from the... I don't know.
Are we cutting this out of the episode?
And we're back, sort of. Let's just go for it. Should we go on? Oh.
Go ahead and talk about Metro. I'm going to take a look at something back here.
All right, okay. Moving back on to video games.
I did want to say, industry night, I imagine the tips were great. Because it's all industry,
pooled.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Everything's pooled, too.
So. Oh, everything's pooled. Mm-hmm. So, and then... And grand opening wasn't as big as that night?
Yeah. Mm. Grand opening was just open to the public. Industry was like, we invited everyone.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool. So, Day says yay. I don't know what that means.
It means we're back.
Hopefully. Metro Exodus, again, $1. Or let's divide it up. I paid 33 cents for this. I've been wanting to play this forever. It's just a... updated version of all the other Metro games. The graphics are better. All the same mechanics are there. And it's really the mechanics that make the Metro games for me. That and the AI from the computer controlled, you know, the NPCs. Like the way they move and the shit they yell out is really fucking really well done.
I like it. And when you mean the mechanics, one thing that is notable about Metro is that it's realism that they sell in terms
there's a lot of realism.
Even though it is alien / post-apocalyptic type of...
Mutant or shit.
Yeah,
yeah. Mutant. But you got to think of, like, real shit. Your ammo capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Wiping your gas mask.
Mm-hmm.
That's constant. Like, just like, there's always shit on your mask. You have to wipe that
off.
And
there's environmental...
Yeah, you got to switch your... your air purifier, like every 3 minutes or something like that. And you got to make sure you got to keep getting new ones.
In combat, were there certain things you had to do with barrels or anything like that in Metro where you could...
Not so far.
Okay, never mind. I might be mixing two games in one at this point because it's been a long time since I've played Metro. But
or they've changed. I don't know. I've never finished one. Bobby finished the last one in 2033. I can't say
I only finished Last Light.
Oh, Last Light. That's the one. I can't see it's better or worse than the other ones. It's definitely more up to date. The graphics are pretty great. It's not the best thing I've ever seen. There's this weird thing where, Bobby, was it Valkyrie with Tom Cruise? Did you see that movie?
Never saw that one.
People complained that nobody had an accent in it, but they were playing Germans, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just this weird thing where everybody has a Russian accent, but it makes it worse. I would have preferred if they were speaking Russian and I had subtitles, because they're speaking
English
all fucked up. You know what I mean? Oh. It's almost like bad subtitles, and that kind of like takes you out of it a little bit. I don't know. I think I would have rather subtitles. Again, I don't know. Jeez. I kind of seen everything here before, especially since I've played other Metros. It's hard to give it like a really great mm-hmm. review. It's just like, I've been down this road so many times. I guess the big difference is you're above ground this time. I just got to the above ground spot, and yeah, you're no longer in the tunnels. So that's the big difference, but that's what every other game has. So it's still scary. I got jump scared a couple times, but I'm not even sure I'm going to continue playing this when I have so much other stuff on my plate. I'll play it a little more. But unless something drastic gets way better soon, that's where I'm at right now, that exact building.
Well, I feel like as far as single-player first-person shooters come, it's definitely up there. I would say Metro is on the same level as a BioShock game, or I know it's not quite as big and open world as BioShock or even Fallout, but the playability, it's smooth.
Yeah, it plays well. I'd kind of put it on par with a BioShock. Probably not the polish. What I do like, the last thing I will say about this game, it's nice to see games from other cultures that you don't hear a lot of them. You don't play a lot of their games. It's nice to, because kind of like food or something like that, you can get a taste of the culture through their art. And this is one of theirs. Like, you can definitely tell it was an American developer. And I kind of like that. It's different. And it's whether better or worse, maybe that's up to you. But I'm glad that I'm playing something a little bit different in the cultural sense. In the gameplay sense, I've seen all this stuff before.
Hmm.
Yep. I got too many games to play to be playing
That's Metro funny
again.
How you say that, but won't play Japanese games.
Because they're too Japanese-y. Since I was eight. Russian games, I've played 3 of them. Not 700.
Not all kawaii games are the same, you know?
I know. But there's things that Japanese games have that I just don't dig. Like, over-complex stories. Way too much dialogue. Dancing for no reason. Dancing in groups for no reason. stuff that was great. Like, obviously, Nintendo's fucking fantastic, but it's only because that's the only shit we had to play. If there was a competing American company at the same time, we probably would have played that stuff instead. It just so happens that Japan was the only producing
Makes
country.
Makes really good video games and very
they
good
do.
Cars.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say they don't.
And cell phones.
But now that I have my choice, I choose not. That's all.
There's a lot of choices out there. All right.
Thanks for summing that up, Bobby. Big words from the... Are we back up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Disco Elysium, take 2. Here we
take
go.
Take 2.
All right. Really like the game. A lot of reading.
Now it sounds like you fucking hate it.
No, I'm just trying to find my stride again.
Okay.
So what this game does... God, I was on a roll, too. What this game does is it turns the story into a game. And it's really interesting to see that happen, because a lot of times we're used to the story being thrown into a game and having it be optional. Like, I don't care about the dialogue. Skip, skip, skip. But in this case, if you do that, you're skipping the game. So it's really interesting to see a game that makes the story front and center in a way that other games have always just had as kind of a component of it. And, of course, the writing has to be really good, and it's great. The characters are really colorful, particularly enjoy Kuno. If you played the game, you know who I'm talking about. You don't mess with Kuno. And
do you know Kuno?
Let me bring Chad up here. Chad knows what I'm talking about. Kuno, come on, guys. But
Keanu?
No, Kuno.
Everyone loves Keanu. don't mess with Keanu.
Oh, that's the most combat in the whole game, right? Punch in face. There is an option.
I mean, there is combat, but you get to it through dialogue. This game is just all streaming dialogue. And a lot of the dialogue happens inside your own head. And so all the talent trees and everything, all the stats that you build, these are all different things that affect the options you get. And the dialogue can take you down different directions. And it's very intricate. Because it is the game, they have to put a lot of effort into it. So, yeah, it's very well thought out. And, God, there was one other thing I wanted to mention, but I'm forgetting it.
So the things that can affect you talking to other people are parts of your body, right? Or if not parts of your body, then different parts of your brain?
They kind of paint it like that, like parts of your brain or perhaps part of your subconscious or like...
Or making suggestions, right? Something like that?
Yeah. So you have like empathy or some of them just have really random names as well, but they affect different things. Oh, this is the thing that I wanted to mention. So I went with a thinker class and part of him, he has like really high intelligence and he's got high points in encyclopedia.
Seemed the most logical.
Yeah, well, you know, it doesn't matter. That's the beauty of this game. I don't think it really matters what you choose. Whatever you choose, you're going to be presented with an option. You're going to find a way to get through with the puzzles.
Right.
And so I don't feel that missing out factor. I don't feel like, oh my God, well, if I don't put enough points into this, then I'm not going to be able to see this part of the game or get past this point. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like I can put them wherever I want and then I can use whatever talents I have to get past it or to get past those points. I mean, maybe there are going to be points where I need to actually have something in volition or something like that.
These puzzles that you're referencing, what type of puzzles are they?
It's more of an adventure game. It's not really a lot of puzzles. You do dice rolls for stuff. So if you have, you know, an option may present itself, you do a dice roll, pass or fail. But what's really cool, what I want to mention about the talent trees is you can overdo it on the talent. So like the encyclopedia, what that does is when I'm walking around, this is in an alternate world, right? This is like a different version of reality here. You're in this town that is kind of in chaos at the moment. And you're like the police, but nobody really respects you or regards you as the police. So you don't, you know, it's kind of a dangerous area, but, you're going around and you're trying to figure out all this stuff. Like they use words that you've never heard of before. So this encyclopedia skill will pop up and tell you like your brain talking to you, it'll tell you like, oh, well this is that. And you know, this happened in this year and it'll kind of fill in some of the background information and help out a little bit.
Like which a is Wikipedia really nice. For this
exactly
for
like,
this world
like looking up Wikipedias. Now the problem is if you put too many points into encyclopedia, then it starts popping up with useless information like oh, that guy wore that pair of shoes on this TV show,
like bothering
yeah.
you.
Yeah, exactly, useless information. And it's the same thing, like if you put too many points in drama, then you start like getting, you have bouts of paranoia or like you act overly dramatic to things and it causes problems. So if you put too many points in one skill, then it causes an issue. Now you put points in these skills, you can also increase them with like items that you wear, potions that you drink or things that you ingest like drugs.
It's very D&D in that way. It's like almost like D&D without the combat, because in D&D you have to make intimidation rolls. You have to do, if you're trying to lie to somebody, you have to roll a die for that. But then you can modify your dice rolls, right? You can get +1, +2 to things, right? Probably in this game as well.
Yeah, you have stats in this game.
Yeah.
So that determines how the chance you have of winning in the dice rolls. But I thought it was really interesting because, you know, a lot of times when you play a game like this, it's like you pick one primary stat and that's what you put all your points into and then maybe something else. But in this one, it's more of a balancing game, and I'm not far enough into the game to really see the later effects of this and to speak too much to that, but from what it seems like is it's a bit of a balancing game. Like, okay, well, if I'm, you know, if I have +5 in this area, but you know, I'm wearing something that subtracts one, then it kind of evens out, or I don't know. It's very complex, and I am enjoying this game and I want to continue playing it. Like 3 hours is not like 3-4 hours I have in this game.
Do we know time to beat?
It's got to be long.
I think it's 20 or 40.
It's, I mean, however fast you can read, maybe, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Which is so annoying playing video games with Chad. Like, as soon as the text on the screen, he's already read it. And he's... I was like, dude, I got to fucking read this, man. He's like, oh, you haven't read it yet? He reads so goddamn fast. His dad reads a book a day. Like, he finishes a novel in a day. And then...
I believe that.
And then Chad gets fucking, like, a giant bag in the mail of mm-hmm. all the books that he's read in mm-hmm. the last, like, 2 months. And then Chad usually donates them. He will read them all. Mm-hmm.
I would get addicted to reading a certain book.
Yeah.
Just like I do getting addicted to video games. Mm-hmm. When I was much younger, I would burn through books all in the same thing. Like, I would carry one book with me, and whenever I had a free moment, mm-hmm. like, even in gym class, if there was an extra 10 or 15 minutes where everyone's just sitting around, I would have my book.
Yeah.
It, like, conveniently next yeah. to me, like, or against the wall at gym class too. Just to read
it. What book you're reading too. Like, some books are very easy to read through, like story mm-hmm. books. Like, the book I'm reading now, like, I'm just flying right through
because
mm-hmm. I think it was written by a 15-year-old. But,
were you taking a shot at the book, or is that really?
Oh, no, this book is ridiculous, man. It is the novelization of XXX2, The Return of Xander Cage.
What are you doing with your life, Bobby?
Well, I haven't seen the movie, but...
Okay.
No, okay, this is what happened. Like, I saw this book, I'm like, really? That's a book. Okay, so picked it up, flipped through a couple pages, and it's like here's the text I read, like... Let me see if I can pull it up here.
So it's almost like unintentional comedy? Is that what you're talking about here?
It is. Yeah. It's the most hilarious thing I've ever read in my entire life. I'm going to read a passage here. I think I bookmarked it.
Yeah, Robert Jordan shit takes forever. Chad reads that every year, Days. The entire series. That's available.
What's that?
Robert Jordan's books, Wheel of Time.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, some books take me a long time to read.
Clown Lotion finished Disco Elysium in 40 hours.
40 hours? It was saying time to beat 22 and a half hours here.
Mm.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Clown's not the sharpest tool in the shed. Oh, take that.
If you go through all the dialogue options and really, you know, saturate yourself with the story, then yeah, it could take a lot longer. And you kind of get comfortable with it too. You know, a lot of times I tend to skip through dialogue, but in this one, it's like, yeah, you know, like, this is the game. Like, enjoy it. Yeah. Okay. I can't find my passage here. But basically, I'm reading through this book and it's just like laced with profanities, like in the most juvenile way.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, and then he picked up the gun and he shot the guy in the throat. And then the other guy tried to shoot him, but he wasn't fast enough. And then,
all right. You're starting to win me over a little bit.
And then it's like, you know, and then the fucking skyscraper fell and he just looked back and smile because he didn't give a shit. And this is the narrator talking.
Yeah.
This is dialogue. And I was like, okay, I got to read this. I mean, it's super short, but yeah.
Dude, the name one more time so people can look this up.
XXX2, The Return of Xander Cage, the novelization.
The novelization. Yeah. Don't confuse
that. So the movie came out first, and then someone's like, this needs to be in print. And it's incredible.
It's almost like subtitles, really.
Yeah.
Like bad narration subtitles of what's going on.
It's like a children's book, but written about adult subject matter. It's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
I am enjoying it. After I read it, I'm going to watch the movie because I've never seen a Xander Cage movie, surprisingly.
Yeah.
But sounds like I'd enjoy it. All right. So Disco Elysium, I'm going to continue to play that. I'm going to continue to play that, but also try to have something else. You know, I want to talk about something new next week, but this is definitely something I'm going to be plugging away at. I can't imagine this would make for a very interesting stream.
You mentioned it's mostly dialogue, but are there any voiceovers in this game?
That actually, they do a really interesting thing with the voiceovers. When you initially talk to somebody, there's spoken dialogue.
Like, they'll go, hey, nice to see ya, mm-hmm. kind of stuff. And then...
Yeah, and then there'll be some options in the dialogue tree, and then they'll respond with their voice. But then after you reach a certain point, that stops, and then it's just all text, which is a smart way of doing it, because if you were to if you were to do voice lines for every line in this game, it would be exhausting. It'd be way too much, maybe impossible.
I think having certain, like, you know, like in Diablo, for instance, like the certain quips, like whenever you talk to someone for the first time, you know, what can I do for you? Or like Deckard Cain, or whenever somebody laughs, they have a like a laughing cue. And I like little, like the voiceovers are more to implement like a person's personality rather than reading through the entire dialogue. Because most people skim through that. I personally skim through that. As soon as I finish reading, I'm already skipping over the voiceover. So, but the very subtle, like the small subtleties definitely add more character to the conversation and the dialogue.
Yeah, they do add quite a bit. So like when you talk to these people, you hear what their voice sounds like, you hear what accent they have.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of racial stuff in this game. Now, racial stuff in the world of the game. I mean, there's many different kinds of people in there from different areas, and they all have problems with each other. So when you hear people talk, it kind of gives you an idea of where they're from. I'm going to see if I can find old Kuno here so you can hear his voice, because that would be a real treat here. Well, I don't believe that's it. Wow, I'm surprised nobody's put that on YouTube. Speaking of great voice lines, though, on our old YouTube channel, we used to have the original cheese vendor from Divinity Original Sin. And I still have that video. I think I'm going to re-upload it to our new YouTube channel. I also have the audio file of that, of the original cheese vendor, which you can't get anymore. When they did the new version, they replaced him with someone else, which is very unfortunate. But yeah, that was a great voice actor right there.
One last thing on this game. I like to say, I love when new shit comes out of left field and it's great and everybody loves it. And the novelty alone carries it, but then it's not just that, it's also well written and has some new thing. I love new shit coming from, you know, nobody said, oh, look out for Disco Elysium in 3 months. Like, it never happened. It just showed up and it's 9 out of 10 everywhere.
Yeah. I think when I looked at the Steam page, it was about 2,000 people are playing right now.
Yeah.
So the game, yeah, and then if peak was 5,000. I mean, the game's selling pretty well.
If you look at the accolades, too, it you know, has various awards from different places.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I don't think he talked about the art. It looks like a oil painting, moving oil painting. That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, like heavy strokes.
Yeah.
There we go. There's Kuno, the one throwing the rocks, but I don't know if we can get to a point where he's talking here.
Somebody says Kuno, only Kuno knows Kuno. Clown, by the way, Orson Scott Card is my favorite author, probably. It's incredible, that guy's imagination.
Mm-hmm. Renowned homophobe, too.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
It sucks when one of your heroes fucking has faults, but most of them do. A lot of times geniuses fucking have, like...
Oh, yeah, they're the worst people in the world.
Yeah.
Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
Horrible guy.
Yep.
Genius, horrible guy.
Yep.
All right. What else we got to talk about?
I don't know. Let's see.
Totally accurate battle simulator.
Yep. I bring it up every time they have an update, and they just came out with the pirates. If you can find it, Bobby. There's a bunch of new classes, just like, so every new, I don't even know what they're called. Army, I guess, that comes out with, you know, six new guys that you can choose. So they have some funny ones. So their base guy is probably the strongest base guy that they've made, because he has two guns, right? But their pirate... No, this is the wrong game.
Yeah, that's Battlegrounds, not Battle Simulator. Yeah.
I have a link. Is it not working? Because it's to a YouTube video, that's why.
Oh.
Yeah. I think so.
There we go. That's the right one.
Yeah, but that's not the right thing. Anyway, it doesn't matter. They have a bunch of weird things. There's these guys that have... I don't know what they are. They're kind of like grappling hooks. Because the whole game is you put armies against other armies, and it's all a physics simulation, right? So the more things you can add to fuck with the physics, the more funny it gets. Mm-hmm. So there's these guys with grappling hooks, and sometimes one will grab guy by an ankle, and his buddy will grab him by the fucking other arm, and then he's just twirling about, and he's supposed to be fighting, so he's still trying to kill people. He's getting wrapped up. Or there's other guys that like shoot balloon arrows. So mm-hmm. if he hits you with the balloon, the balloon will go up, and then like maybe his right arm is up in the air, so now his shield doesn't work, so mm-hmm. now he's getting pelted. Mm-hmm. Or anyway, then there's a super OP class that came in with them. They have cannons now, like classic cannons, like what Napoleon used. The pirates came in with those. They're super fucking strong, a little bit OP. But what
is not always the case, though. It seems like every time they have a new one, it's
yeah, they're overpowered. It almost seems like. But then, you know, when you're putting your own army together, you can mix up. You don't have to use one army. You can mix them all up. You can get your foot soldiers from the cavemen and then, you know, whatever you want to do. So I have endless fun with this game. This is like.
This game would be a lot of fun in a crossover with like Plants versus Zombies.
I hope.
You just have a defense tower type of wall and then you throw your army against it.
Yeah.
As well. That would be pretty funny.
So there's mods right now, but right now the only thing that mods allow you to do is set up scenarios. So you can go down like campaigns that people have put together. Hmm. But hopefully later on you'll be able to make your own guys and then we'll end up with stuff like that, gee, like Marvel characters versus DC characters or Plants versus Zombies or whatever they want. Hopefully that comes down the line. But for now you have to play with what they gave you. And I love it. I love this game.
Awesome.
Oh, and the new pirate map fucking sucks. It's buggy as shit. Your characters fall off the planks all the time.
Do they have a roadmap for this game?
Yeah, there's one on there. If you go down.
Do you know what when they're planning on a full release?
No.
2,000 people playing this game right now.
Yeah. Bobby, go up and click right there, Pirate Update. And you'll see some of the stuff that I've been talking about. Here we go. And here's the video that I had linked, I thought. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Oh, the captain, he's fucking super badass. He puts he puts that musket right to their faces and just blows their heads off. It's awesome. Those are the cannons. Those are the grappling hooks. They can grab them from wherever. See, and just chaos ensues. Cannon or whatever, grenade launchers. So it came down to one of my fights. Came down to I had one grenade launcher guy left, and the other guys had like one swordsman left. He threw the grenade at him. It didn't even explode. It hit him in the head and knocked him out before the explosion went off.
That is so
and I
funny.
Yeah, I was like, what are the chances of that happening? Oh, and she's the strongest pirate. She's the pirate queen.
Nice.
Yeah, she does this flip Whoa. And throws a bunch of bombs. Yeah, she's dope. Try this game, Bobby. It's fucking cool. It's fun. Well,
I played a little bit of it on your computer.
Oh, okay.
But I did enjoy it. Yeah. All right. I don't know if this is going to work. Let's see. Oh, it's too quiet, and some guy's talking over it.
What is he, like Irish or something?
I don't know. Oh, I don't know what that accent is.
Mm-hmm. Might be Pikey, like from Snatch.
Could be.
You like dags?
Let's see. What else we got here?
Oh, dogs.
Yeah. Still playing that?
I just want to say I kept playing it. In my experience right now, this is the hardest game I know of. I rarely get to the second level. I've been to the third level once. It's hard. Hard, hard, hard. And not just because of combat. Combat, Bobby walked in and he's like, oh, combat looks kind of easy. Yeah, combat is kind of easy. What's not easy is that the whole world is a goddamn chemical factory and everything can blow in your face if you do it wrong any time. If the unforeseen things. Like, who knew that thing was going to get lit on fire? It's just crazy how much shit.
But if you play it enough, then
yeah, you'll learn all the interactions.
Because mm-hmm. that's kind of how I felt about Spelunky. Like, I was just, you know, every time I played that game, I just was confused at why I had died.
Yeah, because shit's going on all the time. And not just that, but, like, you'll hear explosions in the background or whatever, and you know that shit's going on. There's chemical explosions going on without you, like deeper in the dungeon, and it's all random all the time. Mm-hmm. You don't know what the fuck you're walking into. It's just craziness. For right now, I'm just gonna put it on the shelf and wait for the full release, because I'm not gonna go ahead and guess that the balancing is right right now. I don't know that this is where they want the game. It's a 9 out of 10. People really enjoy it, but I'm just going to wait for the full release. I don't want to get burnt out right now when it's not done.
Think it's too hard?
Yeah, but even if it wasn't that, Bobby, it's like, what if I play through this? It's super hard. I get to the end and there is no end. Mm-hmm. Like, what payoff do I get? There's no big bad at the end. You know what I mean?
Usually with a game like this, where it's just knowledge that you have to acquire to get better at the game and progress, I like to watch streams.
Yeah. I looked it up, how to play Noita. There wasn't a lot of,
I wonder if there's anybody very skilled at this game that's streaming it. It is kind of.
Have you checked in with Mini over something like this?
I haven't. Check it out.
Because I know he's really good at these games.
Yeah, it's those fast-paced ones. 1,500 people playing it right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be some
people. There's something to it. It just hasn't hooked me yet. And I think I'm not going to let it hook me because I'm going to wait till full release.
All right. Colonel Sanders.
Woohoo! So it's been 2 weeks since I've been on the podcast. And it's been probably a month since I've been on stream. So when I went and turned on my stream, I had the impression I was going to play CS in League, which I did, but I don't need to talk about it much more than where I've been. I got a recommendation from my chat to play I Love You, Colonel Sanders. I thought he was just kidding, but it turns out it's actually a real game. KFC came out with a video game, completely free to play, and it's a dating simulator. You play as a chef in training, and it's literally a 36-hour course, and then you're suddenly like a master, and you're trying to win over Colonel Sanders as a like male waifu. I forgot what they call him, but he's hot as fuck. And then you have a rival, and it's just really quirky.
It's a good game.
It's a good dating sim.
Damn.
Apparently, it's only 2 hours long, and you can mess up. Here's what happened.
Okay.
This is the only dating sim I couldn't beat, and I rage quit on outside of Date Your Dad Simulator or whatever.
Oh, right.
Dream Daddy. Because I made it through the entire game and up to the point where you are about to beat it, there was some really confusing messaging where she asked if you wanted to start over, or I thought it was just like a route you can go in the game.
Right.
And it turns out that I just deleted my entire game. There's a fast forward option where you could basically just fast forward through the game for 15
minutes.
Right,
but you didn't want to do it.
By then, I had almost invested 2 hours. I was role playing the whole entire time because
I remember you were reading character voices and stuff.
Dude, I went on, I changed my outfit. I was role playing. By the end of it, I had Colonel Sanders' bow tie on my neck. and I was convinced I was going to be Colonel Sanders for Halloween. It's still very much a possibility that I might be that sexy Colonel for Halloween. And I was just craving KFC the whole entire time I was playing this game. It works as a propaganda. I mean,
I'm surprised. So I was like, how did they get the licensing for that? And then I'm seeing the publisher. It really is KFC.
It's actually KFC.
Yeah.
They came out with a really good dating sim. It's hilarious. Wow. And then the thing, too, is that I did end up trying to go to KFC that week.
Yeah.
Because this was like, damn, this puts me in the mood for some Georgia Gold.
Yeah.
And the KFC that's down the block from my house shut down.
And you rage quit out of there, too.
I was like, fuck it. I'm going to Chick-fil-A then. it's like, not really. I didn't. Go to Chick-fil-A, but I was like, it worked and put me in the mood for some fried chicken, and I unfortunately couldn't get the fried chicken, and I couldn't get the Colonel. Never ever failed so hard at a dating sim before and or in real life.
And there's a
regarding
mashed potato monster.
KFC. Yeah. And as the spork monster, I believe.
What's your favorite thing at KFC, everybody?
Georgia extra crispy Georgia Gold, and double down on the mashed potatoes and gravy.
I go with the biscuit. I love their biscuits.
Oh, yeah. You got to put honey on it. Do you put honey on the biscuit?
I like put butter. I put gravy on it.
I put butter and honey on the biscuit.
Bobby?
I haven't been to KFC in a long time. I don't know what they have there.
Okay.
No,
but chicken.
What's with the dog? Where does the dog come
in? The dog is the teacher. That's Professor...
Corgimeister.
I forgot his name. Sparkles or Corgison. Something. I don't really remember his name, but it, like, I was getting into it. I was, like, bringing out my Southern accent. It was, like, I love,
we just triggered a lot of people's hunger.
Yeah, I
it's
know.
It's true.
Right?
It's working on me.
It's
I'm like,
so
goddamn.
Good. And I was, and I've then never not, heard it. I mean, Colonel looking that sexy and knowing how good his food. So basically in the game, Colonel's, like, coming up, you know, he feeds everyone his fried chicken and you try to find out all the secret ingredients, his fried chicken. And so, like, throughout the game, he's, like, as he warms up to getting to know you better, he reveals a little bit more about his secret recipe. Mm. And then you offer suggestions to make his KFC more KFC. And then you win over his heart. And it's so funny. It's less than 2 hours. It's completely free on Steam.
So its biggest fault was kind of your
really
fault.
Funny. It was. It
In
was,
a way.
Honestly, the way they worded it set you up for a failure.
But I don't get why they would delete your game. Like, I get giving you an option to go start from the beginning and take different routes. I get. That's pretty cool. But to delete
I think it's because for a lot of dating sims, there's a certain point where you want a certain ending, and you know that because of the choices you made, you don't get the certain ending.
Yeah.
Not that I know. I don't know the ending of this game, and I'm not sure if I'll ever make it to the ending or to my Georgia Gold ever again, because that KFC's gone. I don't know where else to get it.
I love that they're doing zany things. Like, kind of like the commercials. The commercials are getting kind of out there, too.
Yeah. I want my hormone-stuffed fried chicken. I'll tell you what. So good.
It's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, the Colonel has never looked any better, so it's too Japanesey for you?
I would never play anything like this. Yeah. Not the Japanese. This is the dating part, the reading part, the no shotguns part. All of it bothers me. Although I never heard anybody call it, what'd you call it? Something gold? Carolina Gold?
Georgia Gold.
I've never heard
of that. That's an actual flavor on the KFC menu.
Oh, that's delicious. That
it's
sounds
like
delicious.
A honey mustard, a spicy honey mustard, and they literally throw pickles on top. How could
you
not love
over.
That? Yeah.
You just want me over.
Yeah.
I'm on my way
so
to KFC.
So, full title of this game is I Love You, Colonel Sanders, a finger-licking good dating simulator.
So, we lost the stream again, but let's just keep rolling, Bobby. What are we going to do at this point?
Weird.
Yeah, let's just keep the audio. I mean, what'd you do last time? Reset the router?
I've unplugged everything but the computer there. And I restarted OBS. But I think something's just going on with your internet.
You want me to
someone in the house is like just chugging bandwidth.
Do you want me to reset the router?
That'll take
We're back.
A while.
We're back.
Yeah. I think we'll be okay. Right.
I'm drinking gin and juice. Hmm. Yep.
All right. Did you play The Beast Inside?
That's supposed to be me?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Shit. No, I did not.
Oh, man.
Homework's not... It's been 2 months?
Yeah. It's been maybe a month.
Yeah. I don't remember what it is.
The Beast Inside?
Yeah.
The game that you said you were going to play
last week? It was a horror game.
Yeah.
I put it on the list for you, Bobby. And did you guys turn it around and give it back to me? Is that what happened?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I tried to play a Plague's Tale in Origin.
I was pretty drunk last week, dude.
Okay. Yeah. It was a whole conversation. We were going between a couple of different games. I was suggesting one that was kind of scary, but not too scary. And then Ray was suggesting another one. And then you said, no, I'll just play this one.
All right. More on that next week.
All right.
She was right all along. Homework's the worst segment.
Well, is it a bad segment?
No, we're just shitty.
Okay. All right. Dead Space Aftermath was the movie that I watched this week. Review is going to be up on Friday. This is a... Let me pull up the trailer here. This is an animated horror movie. It is basically a cutscene that happens in between Dead Space 1 and Dead Space 2. It was released on the exact same day that Dead Space 2 was released, so it's basically just promotional material.
Okay. Oh, it's anime.
Yeah, well, it's kind of anime, so it's complicated. There's actually several different animation styles. There's one that's 3D, and then... So the story is like a bunch of people are rescued from a ship, and they're interrogated, and they retell their story of what happened up to the rescue. When they retell their story, it goes to 2D animation, and the animation style changes with each person telling the story. The one is more of an anime style. The other ones look a little different, and they're all a little different. Even, you know, when they tell the story, they change a little bit. The people, what they say, how they act kind of changes a little bit. It's very interesting. Like, this game, or this movie, had no business being this good. I really liked it.
Damn. It looks cool, man.
It's probably not as good as I think it is. Wow. Yeah. But if you've played Dead Space 1 and Dead Space 2, then this totally like fills in some gaps, and like it's got some cool tie-ins and everything.
Well, especially because it was promotional material. Usually promotional material is the worst shit.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have the budget.
You expect it to be very cheap. And the budget on this, $2.5 million. I mean,
that's kind of a lot, actually.
Yeah, not too bad. And, you know, it wasn't a theatrical release or anything. This is obviously direct-to-video. You can watch it for free. It's on Tubi right now. I think I actually own this on Steam as well. It's on there for like $3. But I think it holds up even outside of the Dead Space universe. Oof. If you were just to watch this movie, I think it's pretty good. It's very short. It, you know, it gets through it pretty quick. There's action. There's like different things, like little subplots going on. Like it, and they put effort into it. Like there's this, I keep saying this, but this movie had no business being this good. It could have just been.
How short, Bobby?
It's like an hour, 20 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, this could have just totally been just something that they put out there that's like, oh, that's kind of cool. But I see little areas where they actually put some effort into it.
Yeah, I feel like Dead Space right up your alley, but you never talk about it. Did you play it?
Yeah, I played the first one and I beat it. I loved it.
Did you ever play the second one?
I think I started up the second one, but never made it through the second one.
Bobby, is it arguable that is two where they peaked?
No, dude, one.
One?
Yeah. One was really good.
Two was like, I don't know. They really messed a lot of things up there. Like, one had that slow build up and just so cinematic. All the whole, like, Lovecraft. That's one thing I really noticed about this movie and the games. Like, I was not really familiar with Lovecraft before or back when I played these. Back
you just made that realization, right?
You know, it wasn't until Darkest Dungeon that I actually started reading a lot of Lovecraft stuff and getting into that. And, you know, as Clown Lotion pointed out earlier, yes, he was very racist. You know, we're talking about famous genius people who are also terrible. Yeah, Lovecraft, very racist, had a cat called the N-word.
Whoa!
Yeah. And plus, if you read his stuff, especially his earlier stuff, like anybody who's not white is just depicted as a savage. But after reading Lovecraft and being familiar with all that, and then going back and watching Dead Space and then thinking about the games again, I'm like, oh my God, this is sci-fi Lovecraftian, like hardcore. And, I really enjoyed it a lot more.
It's like when I heard somebody say that Star Wars is steampunk. I never really put it together. And then I started thinking about it. I was like, oh yeah, it pretty much is, but you never think about it because Star Wars was out before steampunk was even a concept. But yeah, it is.
Yeah. And, you know, the question always gets asked, you know, what's a great scary game? And I feel like I never have a really good answer to that, but
Dead Space 1.
Yeah, Dead Space 1, I feel like was so good. I mean, if you went back and played it now, I don't know if it would hold up, no promises. But when that game came out, like, it didn't get any better than that.
Just Doom 3?
It would hold up because
Doom 3, yeah, very good.
I never really played, like I said, I don't even remember much of Dead Space 2, but when I played through Dead Space 1, I think the overall progression and the storytelling that was, the storytelling was more so just so well paced. It left you with more questions in the beginning than answers for a very long time, I felt like, with the original Dead Space, which is what made it a good horror story, because like things were being revealed and it was always something new whenever something was revealed to you, especially with the enemies you would encounter. And then the upgrading with the weapons, it like a lot of it just pieced together and made sense. Yeah,
that's a problem.
On top of being very scary, it was also just a very good game.
That's a problem that sequels have. You already know so much going into sequels. There's not a lot to be revealed again.
Well, they changed some stuff with the second one. So the first one, silent protagonist, Isaac didn't talk at all, which I don't know. Looking back at that now seems pretty archaic. Like nobody would ever really do that in a game these days, and it seems pretty weird.
That was my biggest problem. I forgot to mention it during my review, but Metro Exodus. mm-hmm. silent protagonist.
Doesn't talk.
And yeah. it's pronounced, dude. It's so loud.
It's the,
his
awkward.
Silence is so loud. A couple times we're like, stop brooding there silently in the corner.
Yeah, they lampshade it like they did in Half-Life 2. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like everybody accepts it and thinks like that's good because Half-Life did it. But the problem, I mean, the original idea is that you don't have your protagonist talk because the person sitting at the computer playing the game projects themselves on the protagonist. Uh-huh. So they are responding, but in their own head.
Bullshit, dude.
Yeah,
you're saving a ton of money by not having to have alternate audio logs by like three branching stories.
Yeah, probably that too. But the problem, what happens is you have a character that just has like zero personality, and then it's, I don't know. I don't think it works. I don't really care for it. So Dead Space 2, Isaac does talk, but Dead Space 2 also starts out just balls to the wall, like blood, guts, and gore.
Is that the one where you start in your apartment and it gets crazy? Like the world gets crazy?
No, you're on that Citadel or that
station. It must be 3.
Sprawl. Yeah, I never played 3.
Okay.
Although I have it. I should play it sometime. But 2, you start on that. You start on the Sprawl and you like break loose and you find out like you actually see more people and you know how the marker has turned like a whole bunch of people. Like the first one, you're on a ship. You're very much alone. There's a few people here and there. But the second one just, you know, throws in a whole bunch of people. You go through like little schools and nurseries.
It's Alien versus Aliens.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. But they don't give you that slow start in the first one too. It just kind of hits it at the very first cutscene, and then from there there's just no tension. So I don't know. I didn't like the second one nearly as much. The first one I thought was so good.
One thing I liked about it too is that it didn't give you an unnecessary upgrade of weapons. One thing I don't like about single player FPSs most especially is like when I like a gun, I want to use that particular gun throughout the rest of the game. Like BioShock sometimes forces you to use different weapons, like pick it up and just use it. But with Dead Space, you were really only upgrading your one weapon. And there were different ways to, like, once you upgraded it, it made sense.
And you tweaked it to what you wanted.
Well, no. Like it just upgraded it upon itself, so it would help you like defeat certain monsters in different ways.
Yeah.
But it was more or less the one weapon, so it wasn't an unnecessary like you know shuffle with inventory. I think you got different weapons. No, you really only modified your first weapon.
That kind of lends into he's an engineer, right? Isaac's an engineer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We got
and it kind of works. Like he's solving problems through engineering.
The thing that you start out with, the cutter, is not a weapon. It's something for cutting metal.
Yeah.
It's repurposed as a weapon, and then he upgrades it. Yeah, I love the whole weapon upgrade system. And I use the cutter, like, even throughout, too. Like, that was my primary weapon. And the whole just dismembering the enemies, the monsters, it was so much more fascinating than just shoot them in the head.
Mm-hmm. It was tactical dismemberment.
You have to take off all the limbs until it was not a threat. Yeah, I should be playing.
I'm glad that we had this conversation during October. Like, this is nice.
Yeah.
There you go. There's your October. Yeah. There's your Halloween spectacular, guys.
Did I play any spooky games? I love spooky games, and I haven't played any yet.
Hey, play the one that I was supposed to. I don't want to play it.
I want to, before Halloween's over, I do want to play a little bit of Franbo. It's a point-and-click adventure game that I got, was excited for, and like played like an hour and never finished. But I do want to check that out. But time is running out. So yeah, Dead Space Aftermath, check it out, dude, free on Tubi. You can just pull it up and watch it whenever you want.
Nice.
Super short, very enjoyable. First animated film that I've done, and review will be up Friday.
Wrong. Street Fighter. Oh, official.
On YouTube.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wrong, Bobby. God damn it. I try to catch him on anything.
All right, let's talk a little news here. We got a bit. So this was mentioned earlier. It looks like EA is coming back to Steam. So in addition to them posting that Twitter message, kind of alluding to it, somebody also on Twitter posted something that they noticed, I don't know, buried within the code of something, a test application for running Origin games on Steam, suggesting that EA will let people buy and run its games on Steam. So yeah, someone found this shot in there that hinted at that as well.
Gotcha.
So I wonder if this is going to be retroactive, or are you going to be able to play Apex Legends on
I would love that. Steam. I would love to see my Steam friends list, whether or not they're playing Apex, because I would probably jump into Apex games more.
Yeah, if you saw your friends playing
it. I can actually tell who's playing it.
Right.
Because Discord, it's hard for me to really see everyone, what they're doing.
Who has Origin open?
I never have Origin open.
By default, no.
I never knew my brothers were playing. If I could see my brothers were playing, I'd just hop in. And then, like, with Steam, I don't know, with Steam, with your favorites and everything else, and you categorize it by game and seeing who's actually playing the game at that time. I am still such a fangirl of the Steam launcher. I really am.
I think EA probably realized what you just said. Like, I think we'll make more money if more people are playing Apex. More people will play Apex if it's on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, just more people.
And like I've been saying, their fucking Origins turned into a dumpster fire recently.
They haven't done much with it.
No.
And it's hard to believe. They mentioned in that article that it started in 2011. That's when Origin launched? Was created. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Which doesn't seem like that long ago, but I guess so.
Yeah.
All right, next up.
I can't see it over here, Bobby. I don't know what you're looking at.
What's that? I got to scroll down.
Yeah, please.
All right, there.
Thank you.
Twitch megastar Shroud is joining Ninja on Mixer as an exclusive streamer.
It's because they came with that long paper, dude. You know?
Well, okay, so Shroud and Ninja, they both have, and a lot of different streamers that are converted over to Mixer, they have a guaranteed salary.
Yeah.
On top, so having a guaranteed salary that allows them to do more than just stream in order to make their money. Shroud also, as well, I believe, has free subs, like, I think for 24 hours or however long. Like, if you went to his Mixer, you got a free sub.
So, one of the points that came up right away when I was thinking about this is, like, the whole barrier to entry thing, right? So, let's say you have 30,000 subscribers. It's just an idea, a number I'm throwing out. You have to make them go over to Mixer, make an account, put in their credit card again. Mm-hmm. Like, the barrier to entry, there's something there. Only, like, at first, only hardcore fans are going to come over. Mm-hmm. And he's losing how much money? So they got to make sure that Mixer signing bonus makes up for that. Plus, you're saying he gets a salary, right?
Yep.
So that makes up for that, too. By the way, this picture they keep showing, it makes him look so weird.
I actually really like this picture of him.
His head is 50 times bigger than his body.
Well, normally with Shroud,
when you shrink this, if you shrink the picture, because I kept seeing the thumbnails, and I thought somebody had kind of, like,
I like this picture of Shroud. He looks more masculine.
No, watch.
His Adam's apple is like, he actually looks like my ex-boyfriend in this picture. But no, it's like he's got that 5 o'clock shadow. Actually, no, fuck.
Also that. Tickles my pickle.
No, anyways, he just looks really masculine. It's a nice classic photo. The power pose that he has right there. He doesn't look like a...
I don't get it, Chi. He has a midget's body and a genius's head.
No, he doesn't look bad.
Tiny baby arms. See?
It literally looks like somebody just did like the bobblehead effect on him, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's just something odd about this picture. I kept seeing it in Discord.
Yeah, but he's not really built like that. It's just this angle. For me,
it seems like someone made his head big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is all huge right here. Why is
I'm just
so
looking at the face. I'm not looking at his arms. Mm. I like looking at Shroud. I like watching his streams. I don't think I've ever subscribed to him, but he's like, I respect him as a streamer.
Yeah, he's good. If it's not Dr. Disrespect or you, I'll watch him.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I love that they're friends and they interact a bunch, but now that's going to cut that off.
Well, you know, who's next? I honestly wouldn't be surprised if Dr. Disrespect went over.
He recently said he never would, but who knows?
Yeah.
Because he's number one now. Like, undisputed. Mm-hmm. Like, the other, you know, they would jump around a bunch. But now number one, number two left.
Yeah, but hey, if Microsoft makes the right offer.
Yeah.
All right, next up, Dying Light Left 4 Dead 2 crossover.
I got so excited when I saw this. And I was like, oh, they're going to put Left 4 Dead type maps inside of Dying Light. Nope. You're getting four of the weapons from Left 4 Dead into Dying Light. That's it. That's all. And both of them are on sale.
But they're putting a new mode in there, right?
No. That's not the way I understand it. I think literally you just get some of the melee weapons from Left 4 Dead 2 in Dying Light, and that's it. There it is. Frying pan, electric guitar, golf club. Go down, Bobby. There's some bullet points.
Special events.
A little bit higher. Bullet right there.
activating Quartermaster giving out some
free guns.
Safe zones.
Mm. Yeah. Yep. I was super excited, and then, pew, let down.
All right. ESPN says they have a
document revealing Overwatch 2. I didn't read too much into this, but, you know, since Blizzard's been coming under fire for a lot of, like, political things, I think they were just like, let's just make this fucking, even
back
if they...
back to the games kind of thing.
Well, BlizzCon's coming up. So, even if they weren't going to announce Overwatch 2, they're probably working on it. Maybe they're just going to announce it a little earlier. They just want to get everybody back on their side, so they're coming with big announcements. This and Diablo 4 are most likely, like, there's... I wouldn't say there's proof, but there's really, really strong. You weren't here last week, Chi. So Blizzard art book came out, and it claims to have
Diablo 4 artwork.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did hear that. I listened to that portion.
And I believe there's some screenshots too of the artwork in the book.
I am hoping for a huge announcement, and you know, Diablo 4 is the least of a huge announcement. Like, I couldn't foresee Blizzard announcing anything bigger than Diablo 4. I there is no speculation outside of a fourth Diablo right now that would
Overwatch
seem,
2, right?
Well, unless they're, when they say Overwatch 2, are they completely making brand new heroes, or is this kind of the Left 4 Dead 2 of effect where they just patch over it?
It's going to have a strong PvE mode, and it's going to have one new hero. This is all hypothetical.
Overwatch PvE?
People play those events a lot.
Yes.
PvE, like, together. Did you ever play, like, the Halloween special? And stuff like that.
Yeah, one of my gamer friends and his group of friends, they got the world record on Junkenstein.
Oh wow!
2 years back to back. So
let's see, a 4-player story experience set in Rio de Janeiro. This mode will also feature hero talents and in-game items.
Honestly, it's not like I feel like Overwatch can't win me back for anything for any reason at all.
I don't know. Single player sounds cool. I don't know if I want to pay for a whole game of that, and like how long it would really, because I don't think it's going to be like a single player narrative type thing. It seems like they would just have something that you would play over and over again.
Yeah, who knows?
But we'll have all the details next week. I mean, BlizzCon is going to happen. They're going to outline all this stuff.
What is it, G?
My face. BlizzCon. Oh, when is it? It's this weekend.
This weekend.
November 1st and 2nd. Okay. Yeah.
Have you talked to Ray?
No. Is he actually going? I got my hotel booked.
You have your ticket and everything?
Do I have to pick it up?
I don't know. Well, there's chat. Check chat.
I have my QR code.
Oh, I think that's enough.
Yeah.
I think he said something recently, though.
He said to pick up my badge. Like, I have my ticket.
It should have been emailed to you, like the code. And then when you go there, you get the badge.
But yeah, see?
If you got the email, then you're all set.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. Steam now asks if you want to revise your user review after spending more time with a game.
Yeah, nobody knows how many hours or what exactly triggers these, but it's part of their like expanded new library. So if you give something a shit review or a good review after 4 hours, it might ask you 50 hours later, hey, do you want to, now that you know more, do you want to review this again? I think that's pretty cool. I don't know how many people will do it. Although, if you took the time to make the original review, I can see people, you know, editing their review.
I mean, my review on games completely changed. Some games die within 4 hours.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Or not even two.
Well, I wonder how they'll
or 48
that.
Hours. When you read a review,
will it say, like, revised or, I don't know.
Yeah.
Next up, 20,000 toxic CSGO players banned in 6 weeks by Faceit and Google's new chat AI.
Is this only for Faceit users?
No, I think Faceit is a program. I think.
Yeah, Faceit, it's like ESEA. You have to download it, and it auto queues you into separate server lobbies, from what I believe.
Oh.
And it's a way to kind of really help. It's good for playing with like rank and or against, at least, like, supposedly it helps with the hacking issue. Hacking is pretty bad, actually. Robbie has never played CSGO outside of like maybe the first week of launch or something. Mm-hmm. And I got him to play with me, but he's like level one.
Right.
And so we were just playing casual, and every single server we played on, there was
cheaters,
at least two or more cheaters.
Damn.
And apparent, super apparent, because you can actually see people and what they're doing.
Right.
And so we were constantly just vote kicking people up.
Wow.
So
at the lower levels.
Not lower, casual.
Oh, casual.
Yeah. So just open servers.
So this sounds like a win to me, right? It sounds pretty good, getting rid of like the top most toxic players. But
issued 90,000 warnings. Oh, yeah. It's not actual bannings.
No, but 20,000 were banned because they kept fucking up. They kept wow. being toxic after the warnings. It's in there somewhere. And toxicity is down 20%.
So it's only
like
on the Faceit platform?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. That's actually, I see that being a good thing because it keeps the... but CS is very toxic nonetheless. It's like, that's just part of the gaming culture. It's...
doesn't make it okay. I mean, I know you like it for whatever reason.
It's not that I like toxicity. It's just that it goes hand in hand with a game like this.
But it doesn't have to. If you could just remove toxicity, would you? If you could push a magic button?
Well, like, you know, it's like the whole Blizzard issue. Is this just a suppression on a freedom of speech ordeal?
There is that.
If they put money into it. Like, League of Legends would lose more than half of their player base if this were the case. If they yeah. were automatically banning players based on what they were typing into chat. So, I think...
It sucks that she was banned, says Sniper.
Honestly, I think, like, I don't think it should get them banned. I think it should...
Even if they repeatedly break the rules?
Well, I think, yes, it... They should, like, automatically ban
them? It's not automatically. This is multiple offenses.
This is an AI.
Yeah, giving them warnings, and then they keep doing it, and keep doing it, and then a third time, I think they ban
them. I mean, I've had my shit fucking bleeped out when I wasn't even talking shit. Like, I think there was, I said something, and it was completely innocent, but and there was a space, but it was two words side by side that... turned into a bad word.
Right.
Even though they were two separate words.
Yeah.
And it was like, I was like, what the hell? Why is this bleeping me? You know? And it wasn't necessarily CS. I think it was a different game, but I was just laughing. I was like, I can't believe they bleeped that out because right. I didn't even actually say anything bad. It's just those two words put together sound like just one last half and the front half of another word just turned out to be a toxic thing.
Right.
But it wasn't at all.
That's like a simple filter. This is like an AI working it out. I'm not saying it's better. I don't know.
It's, I like, here's the thing. It's maybe might understand segregating, you know, I pride myself in being a very explicit person mm-hmm. and, you know, like I say a lot of random inappropriate shit on my stream all of the time. And it's just like, and a lot of the shit that I say will offend yeah. people. And I would hate for, you know, my personality
right.
to, like, deter me from being able to play my favorite game in the whole world.
Right.
Now, do
I... Well, you probably wouldn't just be able to play it on Faceit for now.
Well, I know, that's Faceit. And, yeah. like, there are plenty of spammers out there. If they got just the spammers and, like, the truly toxic people, but then, do I believe that there are probably some fair game players that got banned?
Probably.
Yeah. And, like, I find that very unfortunate because everyone's got a horrible opinion, whether they verbalize it or not. Like, you know, this is just, you know, in human nature itself. Mm-hmm. So it's really weird. For me to like kind of see this going on. This is my first impression. I haven't really read into it or really
this is pretty much everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's really weird. I should have been banned from CS like.
But you don't play on Faceit, do
10
you?
Times over. I have played on Faceit.
Oh. Well,
Faceit is generally so when it comes to Faceit, I think Faceit is just an alternative to playing CS:GO games and using that different platform, finding ways to, you know, like I said, queue up with less hackers, less toxicity. So they're probably just cleaning up their yeah. community.
Yeah.
So I get that.
Probably their number one complaint is toxicity. So they're doing their best to get rid of it.
Maybe, like, I get also people personally reporting other players and then getting banned. But then an AI automatically banning you, I'm not sure.
CSGO sounds exhausting. Bobby, let's move on, please. He's got to go to bed.
That's it for news.
It's past his bedtime.
It's getting there. All right, time for listener questions. Darth Duck says, or asks, what's the best time of the year to visit San Diego?
366, it's leap year.
Pretty much any time.
Yeah.
Just don't come during Comic-Con. Everything's triple price. Yeah,
but Comic-Con's nice, too. I mean, it's in the middle of summer. You can go to the beach, and also everything's in town.
You got to think about accommodations, dude. Like, unless you have a friend to stay with,
San
you're going
to
be paying.
Big enough to have those kind
or
of
if you don't care about money.
Yeah, if you don't care about money.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's no bad time. Our hottest week of the year was late October. We're talking about this year. It was 96 degrees like 3 days ago.
And then let's ask Daze this question because it's related to that, then Zaps.
Okay. She asks, "What? Or if you were to move out of San Diego, where would you move?
Probably Colorado or Mexico.
In the US of A, she's asking?
I guess it doesn't matter. I just said Mexico. The food's better there. People can be nicer.
I don't know. Pacific Northwest, Portland.
Oh, that's
the only place
nice.
I've been to where I was like, I could live here.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to stay on the West Coast.
Yeah.
I would just move someplace else in California.
California. Yeah.
NorCal. I could see myself transitioning to NorCal with very little complaints.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. As long as I could get a stay in California, I feel like.
It'd be hard for me to move out of the city, though. I don't know. Kind of gotten used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Zap asks, what are you guys dressing up as for Halloween?
Did we talk about that? Kind of.
No, we just talked about what we were
about
doing.
Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I'm going to dress up this year, but I mean, if there's a plan and Sam says we're going to do this, then I'll get a costume. Generally how it works. Chad, fourth time I bring it up this podcast, he has a section in his closet for costumes.
I know,
like
but
costumes.
It's not for Halloween costumes.
Whoa, that's Anna's side of the closet.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. No,
see,
he has like
it's
Halloween
like
costumes.
Oh,
he has like,
okay.
He has a Ken, a Ryu, a fucking Maverick, Goose, mm-hmm. like that kind of stuff. He has just, he collects his. Everybody else kind of throws his away.
He's got a Maverick costume and a Goose costume?
Yeah, just in case somebody wants to be his wingman.
That's hilarious. I'd
love to see the differences between those two costumes.
I think I already said what I was yesterday, what I might want to be. So yesterday I was a dragonling. And then
as like one does.
Yeah, and then might be Colonel Sanders on Halloween, or I might.
That would be awesome, dude.
I know.
There'll probably be a couple, but I would say they're probably guys. I think if you do a female one, I think it'd be really good.
Yeah. But it's all up in the air right now. Yeah. I'm really body conscious right now because I've been off my diet for probably 2 months. Because
yeah, once you start getting
new relationship,
yeah.
New restaurants I'm working for, holidays coming up. God damn it. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Shake weight trainer, maybe.
I am a gorilla Daze.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't really get dressed up for Halloween anymore. This is pretty much it. You're looking at it if you're watching stream right now.
Oh, dude, we had a Halloween party at Chi's fucking bar. Bobby shows up with like a zombie on his shirt or something like that.
A zombie? Like,
yeah.
It's a cassette.
It was a
tape
skull.
No.
It was this exact shirt.
Oh, it was that shirt?
Yeah, it was this
it's
shirt.
It's this exact shirt.
Oh, that's even worse than I thought, dude. A zombie would have been better than this.
Sorry, I like tugged at your shirt, Bobby. I can't see at this angle.
Yeah. She's trying to get at your biceps. Careful, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
No. This is like a good Halloween shirt.
No.
I mean, it's not
I'm not compared to a costume.
Okay, I'm not like 12, all right? Come on.
You were in a 21 and up over bar, and 90% of the people were...
Oh, yeah, a lot of people were dressed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was a panda, I'll never forget. Working her ass off in the hottest costume in the place.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, next question. Another one from Daze. All right, a real twofer. I think we got to wait for Ray on this one. Do you think Modern Warfare?
Rape Ray.
Do you think Modern Warfare is going to be the next best COD or just a shiny new FPS? Is there anything you don't like about Outer Worlds, or is it everything you hoped it was? Well, you played Outer Worlds, so I guess we can talk about this.
I mean, I said everything I would say about it.
It sounds like a success.
It's a success, for sure. I just don't know if that style of game is still... I don't know. And then the AI... Like, I can get behind an AI and just clobber it from behind, and it won't turn around sometimes. The pathing's really bad and stuff. but, yeah.
I can't wait to play the new Modern Warfare. I'll probably go home and buy it tonight or sometime later this week.
Yeah.
I just got to play it. I got to play it because it's cross-platform.
People say it's the best COD out.
Red Dead Redemption's coming out. And I mean, Modern Warfare 2 was amazing. So if it doesn't meet Modern Warfare 2, then it's a bad game. It's like, don't put Modern Warfare on the title if it's not at least Modern Warfare 2. So I have high expectations for it, in my opinion.
I haven't seen anything bad said about it. Like, people are saying it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
That said, not my type of game.
But I really want to play Outer Worlds as well, too. So, game share.
$1, Chi.
Oh, no. Oh, fuck. Xbox Pass. Right. $1. Yeah, okay.
$1.
Okay, you got me again, Mila. You got me again.
Watch. We'll see. We'll see in a week if you got it.
Well, I've been so busy.
Yeah.
All right. Last question from Zap. What ringtone do you currently have, and what is your favorite ringtone you've ever had?
I think generally... I would say 70% of the people in my life have their phones on silent all the time.
Yeah. My phone has been on vibrate since like 2009.
Yeah. That said, can you roll that beautiful beam footage? His fucking ringtone that he put a link in. I dug. Oh,
it's in Discord.
I thought I linked it. Yeah.
Now,
it'll be in there.
I don't have a good I have a nice ringtone. But then it's my notification sounds I want to go deep into a little bit further.
Click the link. Yeah, there you go. So you think it's just a regular one and it goes into something dope.
It's going to be really loud
in
the podcast.
I'm looking for it.
Wow.
Yep. Everybody hates us. Zap.
I
will stand with you, brother.
Ringtones are like, I don't know. I feel like you're trying to make a statement with your ringtone, though.
So but
attention, everyone. I've got a phone call. Listen to my ringtone.
You know what? So with my ringtone right now, it's just something a little jazzy, a little upbeat. So it's not obnoxious every time I hear it.
Right.
But my notification sounds, no matter for as long as I can remember, I have always used the classic Steam notification, chat notification.
Yeah.
There's a new Steam chat when someone messages you, but then it was the like 1.6 days
with
like the old Steam message sound.
Yeah.
And then for my emails, I have the portal when you're walking through a Diablo portal.
Yeah.
I have that as my emails sound. And then sometimes I have, I have the, and then I have an actual portal sound. I forgot which one it was for my Facebook Messenger, and a sound from Portal the game.
And throughout all those noises, you still ignore us when we're inviting you to the podcast.
Huh? Oh, I mute everything.
Oh, yeah.
I mute everything.
So who cares that you have all these things?
Well, when I do turn them on,
Right.
I mute my Discord. I mute everything. But when I do turn them on, because I have to wait on a certain message.
Right.
This one time I was at the liquor store with my friends, and my phone was blowing up a little bit, text message wise.
Yeah.
It's probably you guys.
Yeah.
And he goes, "You nerd, you have Steam up on your phone."
Yeah.
And I was like, "No, that's not Steam. That's actually." Yeah. I was like, "Wow, I'm surprised that registered in your brain."
Yeah.
Because that was the classic Steam chat message sound that they haven't actually implemented in over a decade.
Yeah.
You know?
And he knew what it was.
And he thought I had Steam on my phone, but it was actually just my classic. So he called me out for that, and I was like, wow, okay. That's cool.
The one that I hear a lot, the two most common ones that I hear there's always Super Mario stuff, but mm-hmm. the other one is the message that when you get a Metal Gear Solid that or whatever, people use that as their
All the time.
Yeah,
the alert, the thing, yeah, alert,
yeah. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. or whatever it is.
That's yeah. really common though when it comes to. So I think mine is very uncommon. You don't hear people's Steam messages go off when you're walking out in public, you know. Mm-hmm. And then yeah. So that's about it.
Somebody's phone went off in the movie theater on Friday. That was weird.
What was it?
People have been really good about that lately.
Well, yeah, like for like the last 10 years,
I would because
say.
They have those preliminary commercials mm-hmm. that are always
it helps.
Yeah. One time I was in that horrible theater back where I grew up in El Cajon. It's like, dude, that place is like fallout.
Yeah.
It's horrible. But I remember one time I was there and like someone's phone went off and, you know, usually people are like, oh, sorry, you know, but you know, mm-hmm. lady pulls out and starts talking. I was like, really? Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Yep. Yeah. It was terrible. But yeah, I don't see a lot of ringtones except occasionally out there. You know, it's always like the old guy in line at the bank or something with the ringtone.
I honestly think all ringtones are obnoxious because they're just loud.
Yeah. Well, even in TV shows, like in movies, you always hear the
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. you never really hear a ringtone in TV shows and movies. Or maybe I'm not.
Unless they're making a joke about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As far as what I'm playing next week, I miss Borderlands. I while I'm playing these games that I'm playing for the podcast, mm-hmm. I'm thinking I want to be shooting heads in Borderlands. But Outer Worlds is very good, and if I'm not playing Borderlands, I'll probably be playing that unless something big pops up on my radar.
I will be playing Modern Warfare and maybe some co-op Stardew Valley. Again. Mm. Oh, wow. Look at that.
Boom. Kismet. Bobby? Disco Elysium.
I'm going to be playing Disco Elysium, but, you know, I want to play something new. I think I'm really going to try to get deep into Franbo this week. It can't be that long of a game, but I want to do something scary, and that's a game I bought like 4 or 5 Halloweens ago. I was like, had my eye on it before the game came out, played mm-hmm. the demo, like was super excited about it. Game came out, played like an hour and nothing. So I always felt like I had to go back to it.
And sorry, Bobby, I'm sure I've asked you this 3-4 times. Have you played PT?
No, I don't think it was available by the time I tried to play it. Because didn't it get...
What, does it go down? Away?
No, didn't it get taken down or something?
I don't know.
Or wasn't available.
I don't know. But I'd like to, because people reference it so much, and I don't know what made it so great. Chi, did you play it?
What?
PT?
I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
The playable trailer teaser, something like that.
For what?
Resident Evil, Silent Hill, like one of those games.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was like a scary game.
If Ray was here, he would fucking talk about it for 30 minutes.
PT? Can you Google it? What is it? It's just called PT?
Yeah.
Well, short for playable trailer. And it was it was supposed to be the super scary game that was going to come out. Mm. And it ended up kind of getting turned into Visage, which, Ray, I don't know if he's played that yet.
Well, I think that's a spiritual successor.
I feel like I need to stream more because that's how I stay in the loop these days. Like, because everyone just
throws
suggestions
at me. This has been around for 4 years or more. But, yeah, apparently this is super fucking scary. And people talk about it all the time.
The playable go back. It had fucking what's his name from
graphics still look great.
Walking Dead.
No, that was Silent Death Hill. Stranding.
Oh, Death Stranding. Okay.
Yeah, and then
gross.
Guillermo del Toro was on this. Like he was
what the noise?
Hmm?
Okay, if I even described what I'm looking at right now, I would get banned. I would get banned from fucking Face It.
A fetus in a sink.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. I would just say I want to abort you out my mouth.
Okay.
And then that would get
that
me
would be worse.
Off of Face It.
Oh.
That's exactly what I saw right there. Yeah. It's like imagine regurgitating, like miscarriaging upwards out the mouth.
You're making it worse, Chi.
I'm just saying, like shit like that, like I could just be describing something, might get me fucking banned from CSGO. That fucking sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks.
From Face It, not from CSGO.
Face It is a means to play Counter-Strike.
And if they want a non-toxic environment, they should be able to have one. If you're in my Costco and you're yelling aborted fetus face or whatever, I'm going to kick you out of my Costco.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. I think that's a wrap.
All right, speaking for Bobby Chi and myself, titties. Bye, everybody. Somebody at TwitchCon was like, man, I used to really like it when they signed off every episode with titties. Like, I do every fucking episode, dude. What are you talking about?
Well, maybe you're just not doing it good enough
anymore,
Amelia.
Yeah, I know.
Amelia.
I used to yell it.
Titties, yeah. Y'all.
But we have people sleeping upstairs now and stuff.